The reading from God's Word is found in Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 19 through 34. Hear now God's Word. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And God bless to us this reading of his holy word. This is the third sermon in a short series I have been preaching on this verse, on this passage from Matthew chapter 6. It is, of course, as we know, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, the words of Jesus in this lengthy discourse given to us in these chapters of Matthew's Gospel. I suggested in the first sermon that this passage teaches us that man is a spiritual being. He's not simply of the earth. And last time I preached on this, I reminded you of what you already know, that God is able and willing to be gracious. We come now to verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I believe the key to this verse and the key to this whole section of the Sermon on the Mount is to be found in that way in which the word righteousness is qualified. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He does not say, seek to be righteous. Now, we know that we ought to seek to be righteous. We know that the scripture is clear. The words of Jesus are clear. That seeking righteousness and faithfulness and holiness and a right walk with the Lord is certainly something that we would desire and we should pursue. But in the context of this very significant portion of Matthew 6, Jesus isn't talking about seeking our righteousness. We are to seek the righteousness of God. In Matthew 5, the previous chapter, he speaks this way. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are those who suggest that the scribes and Pharisees have a bad press in the New Testament, and they're constantly being held up to attack and ridicule. They are, and by right they ought to be. Whatever their strong points, whatever their spiritual desires and religious practice, there were men and women who sought preeminently their righteousness, not God's righteousness. And they are condemned here in Matthew 5 and elsewhere throughout the New Testament for their self-centeredness, for their desire to attain that which would be a reward for services rendered unto God. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness. Some time ago, I reviewed with you a section of Romans 3. And we mentioned at that point the great doctrine of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. Imputation is a highfalutin word. But what it means is that the righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. When we stand in the judgment, we expect to be exonerated and declared perfectly righteous, not because of our own righteousness. Now, it doesn't take some mystic, some person who has spent hours of self-examination and evaluation and meditation to recognize that truth. All of you know that in some way or another, at some time or another, you're a failure. Not as much a failure as you might be, thank God, but a failure nonetheless. Have you kept the law perfectly? Have you loved God without any question, without any debate, without any failure? You know the answer to that as well as I do. You don't have to come to that answer by looking at people around you. That would be easy. Remember the Pharisee did that? I'm glad I'm not like that publican. But you can come to an answer to my question not by looking around you, but by looking at yourself and looking within you and giving an honest answer to yourself. When we stand in the judgment, we stand not with our own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but we stand with the righteousness of Christ, with his righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God in perfection and holiness and without blemish, without spot. There isn't any other place to get that. In Romans chapter 3, which is the passage I preached on some time ago, I just would reread verses 20 through 26 of that chapter. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Notice, it's the righteousness of God. It's his righteousness that Paul is affirming. Even, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. There's that phrase again. His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We are to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Nothing less than the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ will do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. That what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That at the last, because of Christ's work, because of the imputation of that obedience and faithfulness and the wonder of that sacrifice, we might at the last say, Father, receive me into your eternal home because I come to you with a perfect, unblemished, unsullied righteousness. Because it is the righteousness of Christ. Seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God. For no other righteousness will do. But Jesus says we're to seek the kingdom as we seek his righteousness. There's a word, a phrase that's used a lot in Christian circles. We talk about kingdom building. We talk of building the kingdom as if it were ours to establish. But just as we are to seek his righteousness, we are to seek his kingdom. The kingdom of God, says Jesus in Matthew 13, kingdom of heaven it is there, is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The merchant in Jesus' little parable does not create the pearl. The oyster does that. Our seeking the kingdom of God is not like painting a picture, beginning with a blank canvas and little brushes and paint. And creating it. That's a perfectly good analogy of much of what we do in the Christian life. I'm not knocking it or making fun of it. But that isn't what it means to seek the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not like a painting that we create. The kingdom of God is like a pearl that we find. Something made by God. Something done by God. Something brought into being and to its fullest extent by God. We are to be a part of that. We are to be engaged in that. But we must never think that we're building our kingdom. We're seeking God's kingdom. The kingdom of God means to recognize and accept God's rule. God has a kingdom, whether we agree with it or not, whether we sign on or not, whether we participate or not. And that recognition and acceptance on the part of Christ's people is primary in significance. It is only when we recognize, when we accept God's rule over the world, over the church, over ourselves, only then can we be active in applying that rule to our lives, to our church, to our nation, to our world. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then Jesus says, and all these things shall be added. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that findeth seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gift things to them that ask him? Seek the kingdom and the righteousness of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Why? Because God would be pleased to give it to you. In His kingdom, when we attain His righteousness, we speak not of achievements or possessions, but the results of our status as citizens and subjects, as adopted children of God. I hope you can see, and I don't know how else to say it except to say it, that there's a great difference here in terms of perspective or viewpoint between the Christian and the non-Christian. Our task as Christians is to seek God's kingdom. Our task as Christians is to seek God's righteousness in Christ. The difference between seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness on the one hand and seeking our own righteousness and the kingdoms of this world, well, it's as the difference between night and day. This is a matter of perspective or viewpoint. But I believe that it goes to the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. It's always easy, as a minister, Christian, to complain about somebody else. You know, it's very simple. I'm good at that. Most of us are. But I think I have a legitimate complaint. When some person, known in the public eye, a performer of some sort, an artist, or an author, a musician, a political leader, a person of prominence that everybody knows about, suddenly converts to Christianity. Now, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. There were Christians even in Herod's household and in the household of Nero in Rome. We know that. And that's a great thing, and God can do wonderful things, and I'm pleased to hear that. But the day after they're converted, they've established their own evangelistic fellowship. And they tend to be involved in that which is outside of the church. Also often, I could name people, I will not name them. It looks to the jaded pastor such as I that they're seeking their own kingdom. As I was in the lead in a political endeavor, as I was at the top of the heap when it came to being involved in popular music or whatever. Now I'm going to be at the similar level in some sort of parachurch, evangelistic fellowship. I don't know what you call it. The idea that a person, a babe in Christ, might come and say, I don't want to lead anything. I want to grow in my knowledge of the Word. I want to be a part of a fellowship of Christian believers. Yes, maybe even a little fellowship like ours. And I want to come and I want to participate. And I want to be active. And I want to hear the Word preached. And I want to take this communion. And I want to participate with other people in the Christian life. And that fellow next to me, who's never going to make it in popular music, that lady in the back row who's never going to be anybody of great influence in the political realm, even that minister who's never going to preach to 500 people. They may know more about the things of God than I do because I'm new at it. And I want to learn and participate and use my gifts for their good. That may happen. But I don't know about it happening a lot. The perspective. Whose kingdom are you seeking to build? Your own? The kingdom of Jesus Christ. Whose righteousness are you seeking? Your own? God forbid. For that will not enable you to stand in the judgment. But you should be seeking the righteousness of God. And that is a matter, as I say, of perspective or viewpoint. And it matters as if it were all the way from the north unto the south, from the east unto the west. There's a glorious vision given to us in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. And so too, going a few verses further in that same chapter, verse 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." It's a vision of the kingdom of God, where his righteousness reigns and rules. And that is what we are to seek as his people. What if you say, that's all fine and good, but I don't see it. I see the kingdoms of this world, the powerful presidents and kings and rulers and dictators. And I see the kingdoms of this world where the church is persecuted and put down, where violence has the reign, where evil seems the norm. I don't see the kingdom of God. Well, if you don't see the kingdom of God, there isn't an awful lot I can say to show it to you than I've already said. You have your Bibles. You can read there the truth. And thank God, the truth is preached regularly each Lord's Day in this place, and you can hear it. To seek the kingdom of God, to seek His righteousness, is not a matter of a great journey. It's not a matter of a lifelong search that may or may not lead to success. You have your Bibles, you hear the truth, and you know in that Bible it says this: the kingdom of God is within you. I said that man is a spiritual being. I said that God is able and willing to be gracious. And I say to you today again, do what Jesus says. Seek the kingdom of God and seek the righteousness of God. And you don't have far to seek to find it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, bless these words unto our understanding and obedience and faithfulness, and may we respond with joy and wonder to that kingdom that is not ours, but is Christ's. That righteousness that is not ours, but is Christ's and imputed to us by thy grace and favor. Be with us and guide us today, that these things might be very real, and that we might know that we walk with that one whose kingdom will have no end. Hear us for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.